Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We are so glad that you've come to join us in worship, and that if you are a visitor with us, we are glad that you're here. You can find out more about us on Facebook and also on the internet. I hope you've been here to look at some of the announcements that we have going on. There are plenty of them. So there are a couple that just need to be highlighted. We are still dealing with the mission trip, there are slots available if you'd like to go to Texas or just want an excuse to go to Texas. We will be going to Texas to do some flood relief for folks over there. We have started our Bible studies on Tuesday night and on Wednesday afternoon at 1, and there's still time to join us. And for the folks who were there last week, I did order the books, and they'll be just a little over $6, $6 or $7 a piece, so I did find those. So we're doing The Grave Robber on Wednesday afternoon, and Decisions on Tuesday night, and we invite you to any one of those, or both. And we have the benefit dinners coming up for the Coleman family, and there is just a number of different announcements. We are making preparations for the rescue mission on Easter. There's a representation from the church going again this year, and so make sure that you read that announcement in your bulletin as well. Also, yesterday the weather was so great. It was so nice and warm. It reminded me that it is almost time for summer to be here. And with that comes our opportunity for summer camps. And I'm not sure how many of us know or that we have the United Methodist camps that are available for all of our young children going into third grade, and even counseling experiences, things like that for the older kids. We have some of the best camps in all of the Ohio. We have, they do high ropes, they do horseback riding, they have lakes, they've got great big blob things that they jump on and throws them into the air. We have canoes. We have just a class, grade A summer camps. We, in West Ohio, we have three of them. We have Camp Otterbein in Logan, down by Hocking Hills. We have Wesley in the middle of the state, and we have Widewater that's up by the lake. And Widewater also serves as a camp to get our younger ones acclimated and ready for camping. So they have a couple weeks where parents can go with their kids, and they have one that's a grandparents' week. All of that is to say that they are also the most affordable camps that we have. I know some of the YMCA camps that we have around range up to $700-$800, and I think our average week stay is something just under $300. So we have quality camps. We have great places for kids to learn about Jesus and their faith and how to live that out, and still have high risk, high adventure, all of that kind of stuff. So you'll be seeing more of those coming up as the summer gets closer, but if you need information, to let me know. Also, the Ministerium for Van Wert is meeting here on Thursday morning, and we've asked if there was anyone who would want to provide a breakfast casserole or a Danish, to let me know for that. There is about 10 to 12 of us that meet once a month, and make sure that our communication between the churches is as well. So those are our announcements. Do we have any from the floor that I've forgotten? Yeah, choir practice has been changed to Thursday instead of Wednesday.
I guess you can call this an early joy and an announcement. For the Jasmine Coleman barbecue, we were hoping to get 300. The Van Wert firefighters said we can't do any less than 300 meals. It's a joy that I can say we've sold 500. And that, number one, I had logistics issues. I'm now borrowing ovens for baked potatoes. This is the first time we've tried this drive-through thing at the VMC. We're still going to try it. But if you are possibly able to either walk from here to get your chicken dinner or go to the parking lot and walk down, it might be a good thing. Not sure how traffic's going to be now. 300, we didn't think it'd be a problem. 500 meals may be a slight problem. I will tell you, we have sold meals in Decatur, Van Wert, Venedosia, Convoy. It has just been a total family, county, community outreach, and the family is just overcome. So we all want to thank you, and please don't forget to come get your chicken next week.
Thank you. It is amazing when the churches come together and when the communities come together to support.
Yeah, I just want to expound a little bit on the Easter at the Rescue Mission. We've done this for 15 or so years, and Larry Dealey, again this year, has consented to furnish the pie crust, and he's done that every year, so Larry, thank you very much. And the adult fellowship class is going to furnish the fruit filling, pie filling, so that is a big plus too, because it takes some time to get all this stuff together. The pie, just like last year, and like this says, the pie crust and fruit filling will be in the storage area off the fellowship hall, and get one can of fruit filling for four pie bottoms and four pie tops, and then bake the pies and bring them back Easter Sunday. We're going to leave about 10 o'clock to go to the mission. So I'll have a sign-up slip out here on the bulletin board so we keep track of how many pies we're going to get. And we'll go and serve the meal, too. And if you have the opportunity, please go with us. It's a real blessing to us and to them. Rachel has driven back from St. Louis, Missouri, to be with her family and go to the rescue mission to serve. So it can be that kind of a feeling. And the pies that we take, you think it just you're baking a pie. Well, every year we go, we hear, oh, good, homemade baked pies. That it not only fills their belly, but it lets them know that somebody cares, that they have something, a touch of home. So everything that we do as a church is really appreciated. So thank you all very much for supporting this.
Are there any other announcements? Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Glory to you, O God, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hosanna in the highest. Gracious God, as we travel and continue on this Lenten journey, travel with us as we come to experience your final week on earth. Be with us and hear our words of worship and our praise. And we pray it in your name. Amen. Call to worship. Broken promises, empty dreams, shattered hearts.
God's covenant remains strong.
Broken laws, weak faith, rampant doubts.
God's love remains true.
Broken systems, financial corruption, unfettered greed.
God's promises remain trustworthy.
In the midst of a broken world, we come to worship as God's own people, trusting in the unbroken promises of eternal love and life.
Praise be to our God. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 159, Lift High the Cross.
Thank you.
We are triumphant in Christ Jesus. May you turn to your neighbor and greet them with the love of Christ. Find our ways back to our seats. I invite the children to come forward as we sing Jesus Loves Me. Good morning, you guys. How are you this morning? Are you awake? Are you excited? This morning we're talking about symbols. Do you know what a symbol is? A symbol is something that reminds us of something else. So the candles, when we light the candles in the morning, it reminds us, the lit candles remind us of the Holy Spirit and the light of the gospel. So those are things that remind us of other things. And so I'm going to start out backwards today. I'm going to let you take your suckers first, and as we talk about symbols, the suckers are also a symbol. Do you remember what we're supposed to do with the suckers? What are we supposed to do? Give one to someone else as a symbol of God's love for them, and tell them that God loves them. So the suckers that we have are symbols as well. Can you see any other symbols in the church? What else might be a symbol up there? How about the flowers? The flowers look like they might be a symbol. Yeah, maybe they remind us of the resurrection and that Jesus life didn't end on the cross, but that he rose again. We have music can be a symbol for us that helps us to worship God. Well, I want you to know, one of the reasons why I let you guys pick your suckers first is because I have another symbol, and I'm willing to let you guys trade up, okay? Now, this symbol is amazing. It is like the coolest symbol ever. It is a food. It's a treat. It's super, super sweet, and it was the most important treat in Jesus' day. Do you know that it was more valuable than gold? More valuable than gold. So, who wants to trade up? Who wants what I have instead? You do? Okay, well, I've got them for you here. All right. So you got to give me your sucker. All right. Here you go. The most wonderful thing. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's a fig, and I'm teasing. You can have your sucker. But you can have the fig, too. And you guys want to try one? These were on a tree in Jesus' day, and they were so sweet. Do you know that they knew that you could live on just dates alone? Isn't that pretty cool? But the figs are so important in Jesus' day that they were a symbol of the blessings that God's people were to God. So in the Old Testament we talk about the fig tree, it was really a symbol for Israel. Do you guys want to take one and try one? Who wants to try one? All right, I'm going to tell you to wait to eat it to take it back to your seat because you might want to spit it out in a tissue. I don't know. Don't want to have the mess up here. Now, there are seeds inside these. So if it tastes a little funny or gritty, it's because there's seeds in there. But these, you can live on just figs alone. Isn't that cool? So it's also a symbol for us that we can live, that God is, God. We live on God's word. And if you don't want it, you can take it and give it to your parents. I bet they're just waiting to have some. You can't imagine what I tried to think of to do with figs this morning. So remember that as we go back to our seats, remember that we have symbols all the time and all around us. Every time you come into church, there's a lot of symbols that remind us. They're there designed to remind us of our faith and of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the wonderful, sweet fruits of figs and dates, Lord, and ask that you just bless us. Bless these kids as they go back and as they go through this week, that they may be filled with your love. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Do I have somebody who wants to use the microphone for me? You can do it? All right. We gather our blessings. So what you got to do is just kind of watch folks and see who's got their hand up. Oh, they can go. Yeah, you can follow Miss Allison to Children's Church. Okay, do we have praises or prayer concerns this morning?
In regards to Taylor, we do have a date, May 9th. They are going to basically break her leg and screw her back together. Her leg is not lining up, and this has all come since junior high. It's just been a developing issue. So right now we just need prayers to grant her some serenity, some calm, some peace. 3 months is a long time to wait to have this to go on. So right now that's what we need prayers with, is just to keep Taylor in a good frame of mind. And then when it comes time later, she'll be in the hospital for a week in Columbus. So
okay. So it's for the upcoming surgery for Taylor in May. Others? Any celebrations? Any birthdays? Oh, a birthday. Any other birthdays? We had a blessing or a concern back in the back for Mrs. Miller?
Bailey's birthday will be Tuesday.
Who's?
Bailey.
Oh, Bailey's Miller. Birthday. All right. It's going to be Tuesday. Anybody else? Anything else? All right. Well, can we sing happy birthday to those folks that are having birthdays coming up? The birthday song? Greetings, we... Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly and gracious God, we are blessed, folks. We are blessed to know, Lord, that as we come together, that you have surrounded us in your love. You have provided a journey for us, Lord, that doesn't end in the cross, but in a resurrection. We are grateful to be here. We know, Lord, that each one of us is beloved, that you knew us before we were knit together in our mother's womb, and you've called us. And together you've called us in this congregation at this time to be a faith family. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would hear our prayers and be present with us as we lift up those concerns that we have and the joys. We are grateful for every day that we have, Lord. We were reminded in study this week that the sheer fact that we've made another rotation around orbit is in gratitude for you, O Lord. So we thank you for everything from the breath that we breathe to the extra special blessings that we have. We ask, O gracious God, that in our prayers, as we lift up those in that need healing and those that continue to heal, that you would be with them, Lord. I know that there are many who continue to struggle against this cold that kind of changes into something that is a respiratory, and that so many are affected with it, Lord, especially here in Ohio and these places. And we ask that you would just ease this hold that it has on us, O gracious God. Be with those who will go through surgery this week. We especially know, Lord, that we are praying for miracles in both Taylor and then in with Keith as he goes forward. With all those that go through surgery, with all those that are sick, for all those that are homebound, Lord, and lonely and isolated, we are ever mindful. And gracious God, we just ask, knowing that we are imperfect people, that we have failed you this week, that we've let you down, and that we have places of brokenness on our own that we just want you to hear, we ask that you search our hearts as we just reflect in silence. Gracious God, we are mindful of our men and women that are serving this country. We ask that you be with them, protect them, keep them safe. We are mindful, Lord, of those folks in Kalamazoo. And would ask, Lord, for your peace to be with them and that community. We are mindful for all of us that are so very vulnerable to the evils of this world. You never intended for us to kill each other and to continue to take lives senselessly. And yet, Lord, it happens again and again and again. Teach us a better way. Give us wisdom. Help us to lean on you and to love you in the midst of it. Be with our politicians, our leaders. Be with those who vote this week. We pray for your wisdom and your will. And we pray, Lord, knowing that you taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn that focuses us is number 698, God of Ages. I invite you to stand as you're able.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We know that God has given us all good things, and every good gift has come from God. And as an act of worship, we trust in God and we return to Him a portion of the blessings that He's given to us. May I have the ushers come for a gathering of our tithes and offerings. As you're able. Faithful God, we give you thanks for all consistency of your promises through all generations. We offer these gifts as willing partners in your covenant. Guide us to use these resources as we work towards the fulfillment of your promise to bring about your kingdom here on earth. In the name of Jesus, who is your living promise to all humanity. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel reading comes to us from Mark, and it is the 11th chapter. And more than anything, instead of just reading it, I want you to hear the story. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one eat from your fruit ever again." And the disciples heard him say this. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who sold doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. As he taught them, he said, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And then the evening came, and they went out to the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you have cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to a mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." The word of God for the people of God. Psalter reading, I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 750 as we read responsively. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out
In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber and runs its course with joy like a strong man.
Its rising is from the ends of the heavens,
and its circuit to the ends of the earth. There's nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are
true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
But who can understand
one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Also keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me.
That
I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious God, we have journeyed from this place and we came together, Lord, to hear your word spoken, to learn, to experience, to be amongst you. And we ask, O gracious God, that you would open our hearts and open our minds, and that you would speak to us the good news of your gospel. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is, it's funny because it is one of those sermons, and this is a series of sermons that I'm beginning to do that is less about what you need to do, what Jesus wants you to do, and more about how we can experience Jesus. How do we? It's more about an experience, and for so it breaks my heart because it's not the most exciting topic in all of the world. But because it's about history. But my hope and prayer is that you guys will come to understand in a new way and in a fresh way this last week of Jesus' life. You may or may not remember that I told you that I wanted to go through Lent and begin with the last days of Jesus' life. Well, we know that this would be then Palm Sunday, but Palm Sunday is something we typically celebrate the week before Easter, and so I'm putting that off till later. So today, we begin the sermon series as we journey with Jesus, and it is Monday. And my hope is that, you know, we have so many folks who come who, because of work or for whatever reason, can't make it to a Monday, Thursday service. They can't make it to a Good Friday. And so they come on Easter and they try to experience the joy in that. But they forget the cross in the meantime. And so as we journey, my goal for us is that we can experience, whether we make it Thursday or Friday, we still experience that whole last week of Jesus's. So today is Monday, and Jesus and the disciples are leaving Bethany. And it's probably the house of Mary and Martha, and they go and they're going back to Jerusalem, as so many would have done in those days for the Passover. They're heading back into Jerusalem. And on the way, Jesus is hungry. And in the distance, he sees a fig tree that has leaved out. And so he goes over to search it to see if there's any figs in it. There being none, he curses the tree and he says, "May no one eat from your fruit ever again." And the disciples hear that and they're kind of puzzled and they don't say anything, they don't question him about it. And then he continues on, they continue on into Jerusalem. And he enters into Jerusalem, he enters into the temple. And as he gets into the temple, he takes the tables, he overturns the tables of the money changers. He releases the doves and the animals that were there for the sacrifice. He blocks the gates so no one else can get in. And he says, "Have you not read that my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den for robbers." So that is the journey that we go with Jesus as he walks back into Jerusalem after Palm Sunday. You'll remember that, you know, that just the day before, he'd been heralded as king. They'd brought him in. They'd cut palm trees. As he came into Jerusalem, the streets were still littered with the palms that had been laid down as they sang, "Hosanna, holy are you and blessed are you." And as they heralded him as the Messiah. And yet today, he comes in down those dusty streets, along those paths littered with the palm branches, and enters into the temple and overturns and causes a scene. Now, that's a great story, but you need to know the history behind it. We have so much garbage that we bring with us to the church in 2016 that may or may not actually be accurate. And so what I hope to do is help you get inside the heads of those of people that were there. So what would have, you know, the first thing we need to know about is we need to know about the temple. We read these stories as if every Jew that ever lived was like, I can't wait to go to the temple because it's the house of God and it's a place of worship and I can't wait to be there and it's going to be so filling and that they, you know, they loved the temple. But by the time of Jesus' day, it just wasn't so. By the time of Jesus' day, we know that the first temple wasn't built by David who wanted to, but by Solomon. And we know it was magnificent. But even as far back as Solomon's temple, that it was destroyed because of corruption. That God allowed the temple to be leveled because, you know, we tend to think that God, we're going to put God in a box. We're going to put God in the temple. We're going to put God in the church. And yet God doesn't stay. It's not about the church. It isn't about the temple. It's about what's going on. And there was so much corruption that God allowed the temple to be destroyed. And the people were taken over by the Babylonians and the Syrians and all those other folks. And so even as far back as the destruction of the first temple, people began to not really trust the temple. So then finally when Herod's temple was built, it wasn't Jerusalem that built it. It wasn't Israel that built it. It was Herod. It was and so they had this grand, grand temple that's built in the middle of Jerusalem. And the things that, you know, it was amazing. We know that the temple was built with an outer courtyard for those that were what they called God-fearers, people who would come in and wanted to become Jews but were not born Jews. And so there was an outer courtyard for those folks. The next level was the place for women. And the women occupied that next place. And the next place was for men. And the next place was the Holy of Holies. And so we tend to think of these as like room-sized things, that the courtyard for the God-fearers was about the size of the church, and then the courtyard for the women, and then the courtyard for the men. But it wasn't. In Herod's temple, it was massive. Some people have said that the courtyard for the Gentiles, the courtyard for the God-fearers, where the money changers were, and all of that, was actually 3 football fields wide and 5 football fields deep. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going to the temple and never getting closer to even the women than 5 football fields away? Imagine the chaos in this area with all the tables and the money changers and the animals coming in and out and the birds in cages and the money changers set up, and there were other merchants all over the place. It was like a mercado. If you've ever been to Mexico or to Spain and seen a mercado where everybody sells in tents all over the place, that's what it was like. And so we have to know that the Jews, when they came to the temple, they came because they loved God and because they were obedient. And I guess the best way I can describe it is, you know, have you ever gone to church and come in and laughed and kind of went, meh? That's how people, the Jews, experienced going to the temple. Often. It was because they knew it was more about oppression. The next thing you need to know is about the priestly families. We always talk, you know, we talk about the high priestly families and how they were honored. And we hear the Christmas stories about how Zechariah goes into the Holy of Holies because he is a high priest and it becomes his year. Well, by the time of Jesus' day, they had no respect for the high priests. They had no, the priestly families really were not what God intended them to be. From as far back as Eli's sons, who corrupted and oppressed the people and stole from them, the priestly families began to lose their credibility. And by the time of Jesus' day, there were only two families left. The two families of the high priest, and they weren't Levites, as we think of in the Bible. They were the people who, they were two families who made that, were self-appointed as the high priests. And they were really like kings. They were priestly kings. And so you have this image of people coming in for Passover into this temple that they don't really trust, into that it's kind of been marred. And then you have these high priestly families that have done nothing but abuse people and tax them and taken their money and oppress them. And they're supposed to be worshiping God. And at the far end of the temple, the upper city, the gate to the upper city where all of the high priestly family lived, where all of those with money lived, the end of their gate was a giant golden eagle. The image of Rome. It stood as a symbol for those folks, for those priests that came in, for everyone who walked by, that they better be careful and they better remember that their allegiance is really to Rome. And that is the backdrop of this scene of what we have today. So with that in mind, Jesus walks back into Jerusalem and he looks out over the temple and he sees the sun glint off of the golden eagle and he becomes passionate. It doesn't say he was angry. These weren't outbursts, uncontrolled outbursts. He was passionate. He knew. He felt like every other oppressed Jew, and he knew what was going on. And so when he walked in, he turned over the tables, and he turned over the money changers, and he released the animals. And you can imagine, you know, we think of it as the whole temple stopped, that everybody stopped and paid attention and drew a collective breath. But it wasn't so. Remember, it's 5 football fields wide and 3 deep and 3 wide. So it was, there was no jumbotrons to project this in those days. So it was a small area. Jesus grabbed the attention of those, but of course the high priest had been following him because now he is named. People know that he's got a troublemaker. And so they're trying to find anything to accuse him for. So they follow him, and they watch, and they see him do this. The next thing we hear is that they try to find a way to kill him because they know that he is opposed to them. And then as they're leaving, they go back to Bethany. The next morning, they get up, they return to Jerusalem, and on the way they see the fig tree. And it's withered. And the disciples remember what had happened the day before, that it happened on Monday, and said, "Jesus, the fig tree that you cursed is dead already. It's already withered and dead. How is it?" These two stories alone don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But Mark puts them in there together. He starts out with the fig tree, the symbol of Israel, the symbol of the temple. And Jesus then goes into the temple. He overturns the tables and the money changers. And then they go back and they see the fig tree. The temple has withered and died. This is what frames our story, our lesson today. This was Jesus and the disciples' journey on Monday. Now, as I was doing some research, I found a story by Max Licata in his book, Angels Stood By, and he tells the story of Speedy Morris. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Speedy Morris before, but he was a basketball coach. He was a basketball coach for LaSalle University. He said, the story goes like this. One day, Speedy is upstairs getting ready for work, and he's shaving, and the phone rings, and he hears his wife answer the phone, and pretty soon she says, "Honey, the phone is for you. It's Sports Illustrated." And he's like, "Yes!" I mean, Speedy had a great record, a tremendous record as a coach, and he thought, finally, they've decided they know that all of that hard work has paid off. Finally, that I'm going to get some recognition for this great coaching career that I've had, and they want to interview me, and in his hurry, he nicks himself. And then he goes to try to find his towel to wipe off the blood, and he kicks his shin. And then he finally gets the shaving cream off, and he runs down the stairs, and he misses the last few stairs in his excitement. And finally, grasping the phone, he says, "Hello, this is Speedy." And on the other line, the voice says, "Mr. Morris, this is Sports Illustrated." He said, "Yes, I know." They said, "We would like to thank you for your years of subscription to our magazine." Well, it's a sad but true fact that faith, in the faith, that religion is used both for profit and prestige. When it is there, there are two results. People are exploited, and God is infuriated. And there is no better example of that than what we have in the temple. What had happened that day in the temple. When Jesus entered the temple and he saw the high priests, they were hucksters. And so the better translation isn't, it's a den for robbers, but a den of robbers. Meaning, he wasn't so mad at the money changers, as we're often told, or the folks selling the animals, but he was mad. He was angry at the priests and at the hierarchy. They had exploited God's people and had indulged and made alliances with Rome. The hucksters are still around. We see them on TV. We hear them on the radio. They go by names like the Moonies, the Hare Krishnas, or what Max Licata calls dealers in the sanctimony. Maybe the worst and the most dangerous in modern history was Jim Jones. But there are hucksters in God's house. There are hucksters that represent themselves as the current high priests. But don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by the smooth talk and the easy promises. The more we know about Jesus, the less likely we are to be taken in. With God, there is no easy path. There's no promises of prosperity. The only path that he promises us is the path to the cross that looms ahead. And yet, when we subject our life to the cross, we are promised a resurrection. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, you call us to all things and to love all people, but to be wise, Lord, and to know when folks are taking advantage, and you walked that path for us. Be with us on this day as we relive Monday. Prepare us for next week, for Tuesday. And bless us on our journey. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 189. I invite you to stand as you're able. As we go forward in Lent, know that we are people on a journey. As we journey to Jerusalem, go in peace and share the love of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.